Someone once said, old age is not for cowards. Is that right, Scylla? You got to be tough. You got to be tough. And you have to rejoice in all things. Always amazes me when Paul's locked up in prison with Silas and he's in chains and they start singing hymns. All the prisoners must think, no wonder they're locked up. They're insane. But no wonder God did a miracle. And the chains came loose. We know that people with dementia or Alzheimer's forget much, but they don't forget everything. But you're always left with the question, what will they remember? Will they remember the birth of their children or their wife, the joy of a wedding day or holidays or friends' faces? And I think that can vary, can't it, from one day to the next. But one thing that's constant, even if our memory isn't, is the love of God for each one of us. Jesus said, even when a sparrow falls from the sky, the Father knows about it. He even knows how many hairs are on Scylla's head, the grey ones. You see, like I said earlier, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rob you of faith. He wants to rob you of hope. He wants to rob you of joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. Which suggests to me that it's something that God wants you to have. If Satan wants to take it away, it's something that God wants you to have. John, you may have lost a toe, but God knows. God knows. Alzheimer's is an insidious disease. And yet, it's not a disease that has the last word. God has the last word. And the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I like the picture that Jesus paints of heaven. It's not all like fairies and angels floating on clouds. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, I'm not someone who covets my next door neighbour's house, or I've never really had the desire to live in a property that's massive. You know, it doesn't really bother me. But it's important enough for Jesus to mention, hey, what God has prepared for those who love him is really something special. It's not just the dwelling place of God, but it's somewhere that you're going to feel more familiar than you do now. But at the moment, while we live on this planet, there's not a simple answer to handling grief. Grief can cause us one day to really feel low. And the next day we find strength and purpose and we hear the birds sing and see the sunshine and we feel stronger. But, you know, it's often like a wave that we can be tossed around a bit. Even though our emotions are not constant, God's love for us is constant, regardless of the illness that we face. Margaret, your son, with his epilepsy, God's love for your family is constant, even though his illness is like that. I like these memes. Have you seen these images and they've got, you know, wise quotes on them? I saw one yesterday and I added it to my sermon. A gentleman called Ole, that's a funny name, isn't it, Ole? Ole Hallersby penned these truthful words. He said, listen, my friend, your helplessness is your best prayer. It calls from your heart to the heart of God with greater effect than all your uttered pleas. He hears it from the very moment that you are seized with helplessness, and it becomes actively engaged at once in hearing and answering the prayer of your helplessness. You know, when someone's in a burning building, they don't go, excuse me, could I have some help? I need a bit of help, hello. They're like, help! And that scream gets your attention. When we suffer and when we hurt and when we sin and when we're sick, God is and knows all things. And even when we can't put it into words, we've just read earlier, the Spirit intercedes for us. And if that's not enough, we read that the Son of God stands at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love of a Father, the intercession of the Son, and the agency and the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't get any better than that.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Growing old is a normal process, but dementia isn't a normal process. According to the Alzheimer's Society in the UK, there are 850,000 people with dementia in this country. Numbers set to rise to over a million in the next 7 years. One in six people over the age of 80 have dementia. It's a challenge in our society. It's a challenge. You know, do we put someone in a care home? Do we care for them at home? You know, what do we do as a family? How can we help? And the answers are never easy or straightforward. But when we have a family member or a friend who's going through that, we need to stick close to them and help them. We need to have a listening ear. We need to be helpful, practical, because they need our help. Alzheimer's is a strange illness in that it affects people very differently. Some people are kind of trapped into a world that is quite delightful for them. It's quite unusual. But I've done some house visits, and I remember seeing one pastor in a home once. He was always joyful. He was locked into this happy place and a bit of his childhood. And that's how it affected him. And in a way, you know, it was a blessing. But it also affects the character of people as well. And then sometimes that's where we see the worst. But it's not that person. It's the brain, it's the mind. And for the carer or the family, that is incredibly difficult to see a loved one suffer like that. Jane, you're Philip. It was very painful for you. And yet, you always spoke to me about the happy times. And I remember we came to the home and you renewed your marriage vows, and it was lovely. I mean, Philip did pretty well on the day, but he was off 1 minute, and then he'd come back again. And no, Philip, stay here for the picture. And big smile on his face. But, you know, it was a privilege to be there. And sometimes some people can feel uncomfortable with that. Oh, how do I react? Or just be normal. How many times have you heard where you might visit a loved one with dementia? There could be a family member or a husband or a wife, and they say, oh, nice to meet you. What's your name? And you can't be offended by it or upset with it, or for goodness sake, don't you know we've been married for 30 years? It's, my name's Simon, how are you? We enter in, we partner with them, we journey with them, we don't judge them. But nothing can separate us from the promise that this is temporary and the best is yet to come for those who trust the Lord. I think fear is the biggest blight that we face. Fear of unemployment, fear of health issues, fear of failing relationships, fear of tomorrow. We don't know what it's going to bring. But we've got to take that off like a heavy burden, like a rucksack, and lay it at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm feeling fearful and I want to give this to you and I want you to help me. And sometimes, even when you haven't got the words, it's probably the best prayer that you can pray, because God sees all and knows all. There's a very brilliant Bible theologian called J.I. Packer. And he writes about the comfort we have in being known by God. This is what he said. What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palm of his hands. I'm never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me. And there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention is distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. When I became a Christian, I had a lot of sin to repent of. Lots. But one thing that I've learned as a Christian is I still have sin to repent of, because I'm a work in progress, just like you are. But that's the respect and love that we have for God. When the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God knows our deepest, darkest thoughts, our biggest failures. And yet, when we come to him and we ask him for forgiveness, and there's genuine repentance, he says, I remember your sin no more. Because he is a loving father. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, nothing. No angel, no demon, nothing can separate us from God's love that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isaiah 65:17 says these words, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. In other words, those things that were a hindrance to us, our mistakes, our failures, when we missed the mark, God says they will not come to mind because I will make all things new again. A loving parent does not keep reminding their children of their sins. A loving parent will chastise their child, but at the moment's opportunity to show love, they will do it. Look at the story of the prodigal son, the son who squandered his father's inheritance. The father sees his son in the distance coming back towards him. The son hasn't said a word and the father's running. He's running to him because he's seen his son turn. He's seen his son's cry. And even before his son has uttered a word, the father knows he's coming home. And even in dementia and even in illness, God knows. Whether we're able to communicate that or not, God knows. And I love in the Greek it says that the father, before the son could say anything, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. But in the Greek, the word literally means kisses upon kisses. I was going to demonstrate it then, but I thought John might give me a clout. That's God's love for you. Extravagant. And he's just looking to give it. He's looking to share it. But we have to open our hearts to him. And the Bible says we have to turn. That word's called repentance in the Bible. Not a very popular word these days. Don't you tell me to repent. Ooh. And yet, it's essential for us, because in our repentance, that's what God hears and sees. There's coming a time where God will wipe every tear from our eyes. How beautiful is that? How wonderful is our God? When I was preparing this message this week, I read a comment from someone with first-hand experience of dementia, and they wrote these words, when my mother, in her dementia, thought I was my dad, my response was not to correct and belittle her, but to say, I love you, Lois. I spoke the truth, and she was affirmed. We must also show respect by providing for their physical, emotional, social and spiritual needs, even though it may be difficult to understand what they are. And finally, you know the story of Lazarus when Mary sent for Jesus and Lazarus was sick. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. And the message was, Jesus, come back quick. Your friend Lazarus, he's sick. And do you know what Jesus does? What would a normal friend do? He'd leg it, wouldn't he? Get back there as soon as he could. Well, Jesus didn't do that. 4 days. He waited 4 days until he came back. Now, how confusing must have that been for Mary? I don't understand, Lord. If you were here earlier, he would have lived. In other words, I dare not say it, Lord, because you're Lord. I know you are. You're the Messiah, the Son of God. But why weren't you here sooner? He's your friend. He was suffering. Where were you, Lord, in his suffering? And you know what I love about this story? Is Jesus wept. Because he was human. And Lazarus was his friend. But Jesus waited 4 days for a reason. In Jewish thinking, by that period, your soul was gone. And the reason Jesus waited so long was he uttered these unbelievable words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. Powerful words. Just the fact that Jesus was there. Just the fact that he spoke a word and a dead man starts to breathe again. It's no wonder Jesus says, can you get him something to eat? Get him something to drink? What an incredible miracle. But you know, Jesus saw the grief. He identified with it. He even wept for it because it was his friend. He didn't tell Mary off. He understood. God understands our pain. For some, it's not dementia. It's maybe your husband has passed away. Your mother or father, a close friend. God knows and he cares deeply. We take communion now. That's how much he cares. God doesn't care about me. He doesn't know about my situation. Oh, yes, he does. He knew about it before you faced it, and he faced the problem head on. No wonder when he's on the cross and he's bleeding, and the hands that he has made are now driving nails into his. And Jesus isn't angry. He says, Father, he says, forgive them. For they know not what they do. When we sin, is it not the same? Sometimes we don't understand the significance or the impact it might have on a friend or a neighbor. People that we've hurt. We forget. We miss the mark. But Jesus is praying for us when we suffer, and even in our sin, when we make mistakes, he's calling us to himself.